much. Boy, I enjoyed that. Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd turn there. And I appreciate that. And happy Father's Day to you fellas. Appreciate the men who serve in our church and the example that you set. And whether it's in Master Club, you made me nervous with that stack, Brother Stephen. And if I had a stack like that, we'd have been up here for 3 days, all right? And but I'm so excited about what the Lord has done, you know, in our young people. And those of you who give of your time to serve in various places in our church. And what an example to set of godly people who serve the Lord and love the Lord. And not just what is taught is important to our children, but what they see. You know, some things you can't teach someone, they have to catch. And, you know, it's not just what they're taught, it's what they catch along the way. And, you know, people catch that by seeing something exemplified in your life. And I appreciate your service. Hebrews chapter 11, stand with me, if you would, verse 8. And then we're going to go ahead up to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Hebrews 11 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Would you read verse 5 and 6 aloud with me? "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Lord, I love you, and I'm so thankful for this wonderful promise from your word. Lord, one of the wonderful promises of Scripture, it's filled with so many. But Lord, as I preach this one here tonight, I pray that you would be with me. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill me and give me the wisdom and the words to say and clarity of thought. I pray that you touch our hearts tonight. Feed us from your word in these next few minutes. Lord, I love you, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On the Road with Christ is the title of the series this week that for going on Sunday nights, and just how to develop convictions and principles and standards for living. And, you know, we've already looked back a little bit at kind of some of the underlying reasons. We look back at where God called us out of, what we've departed from, that once we were dead in trespasses of sin and we were under the prince and power of the air, we were deluded by the things of this world, and yet Jesus came along, amen, and he died an old rugged cross and rose again that we might be saved, and he called us out of all of that. And he gave us a destination that we're headed to. Boy, he's given us inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. We went from being a child of wrath to being a child of God. And he set us on a course of a place that we're headed to. And the comparison is like Abraham that we just read about. He left somewhere behind. He left Ur, the land of his birth. He left everything that he knew to go to a place that he didn't even know he was going. But it's the builder of that place was the Lord. And God called him out of one and set him on course to another. And he was just a sojourner, just a pilgrim. God has called us out of the world and he set us on course to an eternity with him. And we're on a trip to glory. We're just sojourners. We're just pilgrims along the way. He's given us the conviction of his word. He's given us the clear teachings of the word of God upon which we build our life, upon the road on which we walk. And the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We know where we're going on to glory, and we live in such a way that lines up with the word of God. We set standards in our life, really as a result of, here is my conviction, and now I'm going to set some standards that will keep me on those convictions. If God says this, this is how I live it. I don't want to come outside of these parameters lest I start living like I don't believe, right? I want to live the way I believe according to the convictions of God's word. Here is another one in my mind in terms of developing standards of convictions, and that is the company on our journey. The company that is with us. Here God's called us onto glory and he's given us this wonderful promise in his word. I will never leave thee nor what? Forsake thee. Here the Lord reminds us of this fact that I am never going to leave you and I am never going to forsake you. I think of the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit of God. There are some irrevocable and unstoppable things that the Holy Spirit of God is doing in our life. The moment you put your trust in Christ, He came and dwelt inside of you. In Romans 8, 14 through 18, we see this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Well, that Holy Spirit of God, the moment you bowed your head and put your trust in the Lord, that Holy Spirit of God moved in and took up residence. He moved in and He's given us, and he said, I've made you my child. And one of the blessings of the Christian life is that Holy Spirit of God moved inside of me. Before salvation, before May of 1995, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was dead in trespasses of sin. But the moment I put my trust in Christ, I was born again, as the Bible says in John 3. It says, ye must be born again. And I came to know Christ, and I was born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit of God moved in and made me His child. And if you put your trust in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ has changed your nature completely. It's an unstoppable work of the Holy Spirit. It's this indwelling in your heart that He moved in and that He took up residence. I think of His sealing work. In the book of Ephesians, it says He sealed us unto the day of redemption. John chapter 10, 28 and 29 says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. That Holy Spirit of God moved in, took up residence, and God holds you in your hand, and you're sealed and kept until glory by a work of the Holy Spirit of God. You know why you can't lose your salvation? Number one, because you didn't do it. And number two, it's because He that keeps you, you don't keep you saved. He's keeping you saved. That sealing work of the Holy Spirit, that indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible gives us this wonderful promise about the Lord. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In other words, He is with me every moment of my life. He is with me when I am in public. He is with me when I'm in private. He is with me when I am feeling encouraged. He's with me when I'm discouraged. He said, I will never, ever, ever leave you. You know, I think of the reasons we develop convictions and the how of our convictions, and I think it comes down to one of these truths is that Holy Spirit of God is with me and He's never leaving me. And I want to point to you some things from this passage of Scripture that I think to draw upon. Number one, we see the conviction the Holy Spirit gives. Look here at these verses again and read verse 4 into verse 5. Marriage is honorable above all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see the conviction, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in our life. The first thing He reminds us of is this: let your conversation be without covetousness. Covetousness is one of the root sins of the Christian life. One of the Ten Commandments says this: thou shalt not what? Covet. It is one of the root sins of the Christian life. Let me read you these verses in Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 3 through 7 says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers of them. But it talks about that unclean person or that covetous person. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanliness, and inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the what? Root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Covetousness is one of the root sins of the Christian life, of life in general. Covetousness is what leads a lot of people to do wrong. In other words, they want something God does not intend for them to have. It is the root sin of immorality. Whether it's an adulterous relationship where someone desires someone that God did not give them in marriage. Or fornication, what comes before marriage, that someone wants someone God has not chosen to give them. In money, the desire to have things that God has not chosen to give you. In experience, the desire to experience things God at his time has not chosen to give you. See, covetousness is a root sin of the Christian life. And the Lord says about covetousness, he said, which is idolatry. See, the Lord sees covetousness as idolatry. It is trying to circumvent the will of God. It is me saying, I know better than God. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden? It was not only pride, but the devil tempted them with this. He said, the day that he goes, if you eat of it, you'll determine eat good and evil. You will be as what? God. He tempted them with wanting what God had not chosen to give them. And one of the great sins, the underlying sin many times in the Christian life, is desiring to have, desiring to experience or to possess something that God has not chosen to give you. Something that God says either it's not for you to have or it's not for you to have now. And the Lord is reminding them of this convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And he starts with some of those very things. It's a work of covetousness. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, that physical relationship inside of marriage. But whoremongers and idolaters, God will judge. And why does someone become a whoremonger and adulterer? Let your conversation, that's your life, that's everything about you that speaks, be without what? Covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. He's talking about this underlying of sin that underlines almost everything that leads us into wrong is the desire to have what God has not chosen to give. It's covetousness. And God says this about covetousness, it is idolatry. Can I tell you something, friend? When you long for something and desire to have and to go to take what God has not chosen you for you to give, it's not just taking or experiencing something that's wrong. It is worshiping someone other than your God. It is one of the root sins of the Christian life. The answer to avoiding this going into sin and this matter of covetousness or taking what God has not chosen for me to have, or really maybe it's not even something that he has not chosen for me to have, but it's not for me to have now. Some things there's nothing wrong with, but it's not God's intent for you to have it in that moment. It's not time for it. And what is it that God gives me in this life to guide me and direct me through life, to walk in his will and not step outside of his will, and to know what is his desire for me to do and to follow and obey? It is the wonderful gift of his Holy Spirit, who will never leave me nor forsake me. He said, I'm going to teach you how to develop some things in your life that will keep you from sin. It is that convicting work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It is the one who leads us and guides us into obedience, and we see his convicting work, we see his leading work. We see that in John 14:26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The direct application of that verse there is the Lord speaking to his disciples, and he's beginning to teach them about how he's going to reveal to them the Word of God that you and I will hold in our hands. He said that Holy Spirit of God's going to move in, and he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. And John would begin to write those things as God gave them the Gospel of John and Matthew and others. But one of the applications of this is that Holy Spirit of God for me today is going to lead me and guide and direct me by his Word and his Holy Spirit in my life. The one who said he'll never leave thee nor forsake me. You know, there's one who helps me develop standards in my Christian life, and it's that Holy Spirit of God that as I go through life, and that Holy Spirit leads me to recognize there are some things I'm supposed to have and some things I'm not supposed to have, or it's not my time now and it may be later, and that Holy Spirit of God gives direction as to standards to develop in my life. That's where standards begin to vary a little bit person to person. Certain standards are universal. They come off of a biblical conviction that we all hold dear. But some things, my life is in maybe in a different place than yours. And that Holy Spirit of God moves in and begins to give convictions in my life that are built upon the leading of the Holy Spirit through His Word in my life that leads me to say, hey, this is not what I have for you, Seth Hahn. I've got a direction that I'd have you to take, and if you pick up that weight, you won't run the race that I have for you to run. Leave that weight off. There's that convicting leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. He directs our every steps. I think of how He led Paul in Acts chapter 16, 6 through 9. It says, now when he had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing unto Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed unto him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul desired to go into Asia with the gospel, but the Holy Spirit suffered him not. You know, one of the ways we develop standards in our life, the convictions are the settled truths of the Word of God. Standards grow off of that conviction, but it's the Holy Spirit of God leading me in my life. That He says, Seth, this is something God has for you, and this is something God doesn't have for you. So set a standard here that will keep you after longing for the things that God doesn't intend for you to have. You know, God has charted a course for me. He's charted a course for me in ministry. He's charted a course for me in life. And as a result of that, that means there are certain things I should never be in pursuit of because of what He's called me to. And so what do? That leading of the Holy Spirit helps me set a standard that keeps me from falling in love with certain things and keeps me on course. You know, Christian, that Holy Spirit of God ought to be leading you in some things in life that says, here's something for you to have, here's something for you to not have, or the timing of life that helps you under that convicting leading of the Word of God to set a standard in your life. There's a standard. One of the things He uses here is morality. This He specifically addresses it here. He says, you know, the marriage bed is undefiled. It is a wonderful place for it. Outside of that, whoremongers and adulterers, God will what? Judge. It's one of those sins God takes big time notice of. And He says, so you ought to set some standards of not desiring to take what is not yours. And in the Christian life, we ought to be developing standards of this is what God has for me, this is what God does not have for me right now, and I am going to set standards that keep me from going after things that God does not intend for me to pursue in life. Whether it's things that are pure or just the recognition of there are certain things God has called me to that my life may be different than yours, but we have the same Holy Spirit and we set a standard in life that makes me realize there may be nothing wrong with that, but if I pursue it, I'm going to fall in love with something that God does not intend for me to have. And that's the one who keeps me on that path is the Holy Spirit of God. Some people often say, well, what's wrong with it? Well, preacher, the question isn't what's wrong with it. The question is what's right about it. The question is what course has God set you in your life? And if it's something that takes you off the course that God intended you to take, then friend, you better have a standard that keeps you away from it. Because that Holy Spirit of God should be leading me in my life to develop standards of my life that keep me from getting off the course that God has set for me in life. He directs us through His Spirit and the need to respond in our life. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says this, quench not the what? Spirit. Ephesians 4:29 through 30 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Here it is. We're on a journey. We're pilgrims passing through this world. And I've left a whole lot behind. God changed my life since the day that I was saved, and He set me on course to another destination, and He made me just a pilgrim passing through, but He didn't leave me alone. He didn't put me on course of this journey without company. And He gave me the wonderful promise of the Holy Spirit in my life that convicts me in my life. You know, everybody knows what it's like to go on a road trip somewhere. You know, the thing about road trips, when you set a course, you know what road trips aren't about? gas stations. Matter of fact, I kind of really dread gas stations right now, all right? And I really hate those things, all right? But, you know, here's the tempt. Every time we stop, I've got five kids, if I'm heading somewhere, every time we stop, they want to go in, not only to use the bathroom, but they want to spend every dollar I've got on candy and pop, all right? I mean, everything. I think they could spend your entire vacation budget in the gas station, couldn't they? I mean, and next thing you know, I could have spent 30 bucks down the road at a restaurant. It cost me at least 50, all right? But they could spend the same amount on junk food in the gas station. And there's someone along the way that just says, no, here's a bottle of water you can share and some gummy worms, all right? And all right, that's what happens, all right? And, you know, and just say, we are not going to spend our trip in the gas station. I don't care how nice of a gas station it is. It is just a way station on the way. Can I tell you something, Christian? There's all kinds, if you will, of attractions along the way in this life. There are all kinds of places you can waste your time and waste your life and waste your substance on your way to the place that God has called you. But God gave you someone to go with you. To say, hold up. If you get off track here, you're going to waste the journey. I've called you out of somewhere, and I've sent you on a course, and he said, I've given you my wonderful Holy Spirit who will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be sensitive to his leading through his word. Be sensitive to his leading in your life. I think of how Paul wanted to go to Asia, and God said, that Holy Spirit have suffered him not. He just could not go for some reason in his heart until God gave him that vision of the Macedonia call, and he took the gospel into Philippi. Talk about a wonderful letter. Aren't you glad you have the book of Philippians, that wonderful book of joy? Aren't you glad you have some of those prison epistles that we read about in Scripture that Paul wrote those churches? And I think of how different it would have been if Paul had said, get out of my way, Holy Ghost, I'm heading this way. And I tell you something, Christian, the Christian life, we must be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. And one of the ways we develop standards that may be different from time to time is that I have left somewhere behind and God has given me the convictions of his word, and I'm headed somewhere, and he's given me that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that says, don't waste your time in these places. There is a need to be sensitive to his leading in my life. There's a need to walk in his word, to be filled with his spirit, and to find out what he has for me and not allow myself to be sidetracked and set standards in my life based upon this Holy Spirit's leading. Friend, that's not legalism, if you will. That is, I am going somewhere. And that Holy Spirit has led me in my life to develop some convictions that says, that's where I'm going. I'm not wasting my time on that. It is the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. We develop those standards and convictions off the Word of God. We follow because of the company we keep. I think of the conquest he provides. Look at these verses again. And it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my what? Helper. So that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I think of how God gives us victory in our life. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. How about these verses from Galatians? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I have to tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is what? No law. You see a little bit of victory in there? Here's what the Holy Spirit of God does. He gives me victory in my Christian life. That I can go from the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit in my life. We can go from the wrathful things mentioned into the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the long-suffering of God and the Lord, so that I may boldly say on this journey of life, as God gives me a destination in glory and helps me set some standards and convictions and principles in my life, that I can live this Christian life in a victorious manner. And the reason I can live it is not because of who I am, but because of who He is, that we can experience the victorious Christian life. God didn't save me to let me live in sin. He saved me to get me out of sin. His grace is not an excuse to continue in it. But He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. There is the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that leads me and convicts me in my life as I remain saint, sensitive to a spirit that He said, follow this, and I look at it and say, God, I don't know how, that He looks back at me and says, let me do it. I tell you this, that we've heard the statement and seen it on bumper stickers that Jesus is our co-pilot. That's not at all what God intended for us to have. He didn't say just to be indwelt, but He intended that we would be filled. And there's a big difference. His indwelling you cannot stop. His indwelling you have. You got it the moment you were saved. He moved in. He took up residence. He sealed you under the day of redemption. You can't stop it. But a filling is your choice. Filling is choice. He uses the perfect illustration. Now, forgive me if you're in my Sunday school class. I talked about this morning. But and be not drunk with wine wherein is what? Excess, but be filled with the what? Spirit. God gives a comparison. Drunkenness is a choice, isn't it? Whether you pick it up and drink it or not. Being filled with the Spirit is a choice. Whether you're filled or not. Hey, drunkenness will control your behavior, won't it? Completely change who you are. The filling of the Holy Spirit will completely change who you are. It will transform your life. Drunkenness is a temporary state, isn't it? It comes and goes. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a temporary state. His indwelling is permanent. Whether you walk in the Spirit is a temporary and a continually seeking the filling of the Word of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And that Holy Spirit of God moves in, and when I am filled, He gives me victory. When I'm filled. Think of what it takes to be filled. And I mentioned this in Sunday school again, but if a man will be filled, he must first be empty. In other words, if I'm going to take this glass here and I want to fill it with one thing, then I've got to empty it of what it's in there. Filling requires emptiness. If I'll be filled with the Spirit, then I'm going to have to pour out the flesh. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You know what brings the filling of God? When you pour out self. When you come to a place like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when you say, not my will be done, but what? Thine be done. When you say, Lord, these are the things that I want, but evidently you don't want me to have them. So I'm going to die to self. I'm going to be empty of my pursuits. Emptiness. Emptiness is one of the things that brings about a filling. I think not only an emptiness, but a yieldedness. There's a yieldedness that must be there. The Bible said in Romans 6, verse 13, it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. An emptiness, a yieldedness. Yieldedness implies something, disagreement. In other words, you don't have to yield as long as you're walking in agreement. It's like the word submission. Nobody has to submit if they're walking in agreement, do they? Submission and yieldedness imply some level of disagreement. My wife and I are out And I say, hey, what do you want to eat? And she says, Italian. And I'm thinking steak, all right? And I said this earlier this morning, but I don't believe you should spend as much on pasta as you do on steak. I don't believe that. I think that is written in the Word of God. Thou shalt not spend on pasta what you would spend on steak, all right? I don't believe that. But my wife likes pasta for some reason, all right? And it's all right as long as there's a big piece of steak with it, all right? And not cut up on it. That's sacrilegious, all right? Don't put steak in a salad or on pasta. You know, separate it. It stands alone. All right. And but here it is. You know, if I'm driving down the road and we say, where are we going? And she says, I'd like some Italian. And I say, well, I would like some steak. More than likely it's date night. So she wins. All right. But here's the reality. Someone, when you're in disagreement, has to yield. Right. Yielding. You know, boy, we want God's filling. We just want him to walk in agreement with us. Friend, it's not God walking in agreement with you. It's you walking in agreement with God. As long as you're trying to convince God to agree with you, you'll never be filled. It comes down to where I am willing to agree with him. Do you know sin? When David confessed his sin, he said, I acknowledge in Psalms 51 his sin with Bathsheba. He said, I acknowledge my sin. He said, it's ever before me. You know what the acknowledgement of sin is? It's the agreement with God on it. For instance, David didn't agree with God on his sin with Bathsheba when he sinned with Bathsheba. He thought he was okay. He thought he could get by with it. But then he didn't. And he was miserable. And God confronted him with Nathan the prophet. And David confessed and says, Lord, you were right. I'm going to yield to what I thought, to what you have said, and I am going to agree with you. I am sorry. I was wrong. I confess it. And I forsake it. I agree with you. He yielded himself, his will and his thought on the matter, to what God thought on the matter. You will never be filled as long as you walk in disagreement with God. Never. There must be an emptying of self and a yieldedness to God. That I am willing to come to a place and say, Lord, I may not agree, but I am willing to yield. Not my will be done, but thine be done. There has to be an emptiness. There has to be a yieldedness. I believe there has to be a prayerful seeking of it. Luke 11:9-13 says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You and I have received the wonderful gift of his Holy Spirit at salvation, but that filling is different. I think that filling comes where in a state of prayer and faith, we humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I'm surrendering. Laying down my life. I'm laying down my desires and my ambitions. Not my will be done, but thine be done. Lord, would you fill me? Would you strengthen me? Would you empower me? Would you use me? There is a filling that takes place. See, he's not going anywhere, but it's me giving him complete control of my life. Friend, that's a daily work. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime work. The filling of the Holy Spirit is something that we do that we seek on a continual basis. His indwelling you cannot lose, but his filling you can. It is when I come to a place that one of the importance of a daily walk is my time on my knees when I say, Lord, here it is. Here is my Sunday. Here is my Monday. Lord, I know you have a purpose and I know you have a plan. And Lord, I'm surrendering my heart to you. I'm surrendering my life to you. Would you fill me? I'm yielding myself to you. Would you take control of my life today? And then as I walk through the day, this spirit walk is when I'm confronted with things and I desire something that God does not intend me to have, that once again I say, Lord, I'm yielding to you. Would you fill me and give me strength today so I don't go down that path? Would you give me your strength? Would you give me your power? That is called walking in the Spirit. As I begin a day with him, as I continue through the day with him, saying, Lord, I don't want to fall in this path of covetousness. I don't want to fall in this path of desiring things you didn't have for me to have. So lead me by your Spirit, and as you direct me, I will not silence and quench you, and I don't want to grieve you through walking in sin. Here I am, moment by moment, day by day. Fill me with the never-leaving presence of God. I know you said you'll never leave me. I know you said you'll never forsake me. So, dear God, since you're here, would you fill? Here's my life. Fill me with your Spirit and your power and your presence. And God is saying, I've given you a wonderful gift. Someone to lead you through life, to help you develop standards and convictions, and then help you do this, help you live them out. There is this, in this passage of Scripture, we see, if you will, we see not only the conviction He gives and the conquering He offers, but we see the contentment He provides. Look at that verse again. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Boy, there was a contentment. This was a church who in a lot of ways had something to fear, if you could talk about physically. Matter of fact, he says a few verses earlier in verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. He wasn't talking figuratively, he was talking literally. Remember them that are in bonds. Remember those that have been thrown in prison for their faith. Remember them. They're part of the body of Christ. And he says in this verse, he said, I want you to be able to say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You may be persecuted for your faith. You may be imprisoned for your faith. But you can find a contentment and a peace from the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. The filling of God. I think of that verse in Galatians again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then in verse 22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no what? Law. I think of James chapter 4. He said this, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. What he's saying? In one way, you're trying to get everything that you want out of life. And the other one, you're letting the Holy Spirit lead you in your life. You're letting Him keep you out of covetousness that'll keep you warring and fighting and struggling to get everything you want. In the other, you're saying, Holy Spirit, would you fill me and use me and lead me? And I'll set some standards and some guardrails in my life that will keep me on the path that you have me. And God provides a contentment. A love when you shouldn't feel love. A peace when the circumstances said something else. A joy when the experience says something else. A temperance when your body wants to run out of course. A faith that only God, the Holy Spirit of God, can give you. That long-suffering, that gentleness. What is that? Friend, that is a contentment that only God can gives. I will tell you this. When you lack peace and lack joy and lack contentment, it's a result of the lack of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Circumstances may try to rob you of it, but it's not circumstance that provides peace to the Christian. It is not circumstance that provides joy to the Christian. It's not circumstance that provides love to the Christian. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. See, as a Christian, I'm not supposed to be dependent upon circumstance to give me love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, faith. I'm supposed to be dependent upon His Holy Spirit in my life. But when I find myself trying to find those things in circumstance, I'll be robbed of my peace, robbed of my love, robbed of my joy. Trying to get things out of life when God's saying this to me, you just need me. You just need me. See, God's called us to a journey in the Christian life. He called me out of the world. He set me on course to glory. He's given me the convictions of the Word, and He desires for me to develop some standards and conviction that would keep me on course for my life. And He's given me a company for the journey. What we try to do too many times as Christians, we try to find somewhere else what only Christ can offer. We try to find in the world by getting what we want out of life what only the Holy Spirit can give us. And friend, that is covetousness, which is idolatry. When I am desiring what God has not chosen to give me, either right now or at any time, what I'm doing is I said, Lord, what I want is more important than what you want. And God says, here is the alternative to that. There's one who will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who will convict your heart? And if you're filled with Him and yield to Him, He will give you a love and a peace and a joy and a gentleness, all those things, those fruits of the Spirit that will keep you on a state of life and being then content. As Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Whether he was abound or whether he had nothing, he had learned to be content. That learning was not a state of the mind. It was a working of the Holy Spirit in his heart to provide the contentment that could lead he and Silas to sing in prison at midnight, that could lead him in chains into Jerusalem and continue his journey, because he was yielding to the Spirit and said, what you have for me is what I want, not what I want out of life. See, there's some company that God has given us on this journey. Some people don't get it, do they? They're trying to find joy in the things of life. Boy, you Christians, you're just missing out. No, friend, you are missing out. It's called the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. You try to find it somewhere else. But I'm telling you, when you walk in the Spirit, following His will, you'll find a peace and a contentment and a joy that absolutely nothing else can provide. And if you try to find it in other things, you will hop from thing to thing or person to person or place to place and always end up in the same place, empty. But there is one who the Lord said, I've given you at salvation that will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And if you walk in that Spirit, I'll give you the peace, the gentleness, the long-suffering. If you let Him guide you in your life to keep you from the things that you should not have and keep you on course with the things He intends you to have, that God says, there is peace, there is joy, there is the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for the time together this evening. I thank